fearful for his life? Maybe. Because he didn't like Nineveh? Because of what they did? Yes. But why did he not want to go to Nineveh? Exactly right. What Bruce just said, God gave them the opportunity to repent. And Jonah didn't want to see these bad people repent. Is that how we are as Christians? So I think the new beginning is a new mindset. I think we all need to develop a new mindset. We need to develop the mindset no matter where God leads, no matter where God takes us. We have to view that person, no matter who they are, as a child of God. They're his creation. 1992, NFL draft is coming up. And if your team that needed a quarterback, two of the worst teams in the league had a chance to get two of the best quarterbacks coming out in the NFL. Anybody know who the 1992 first and second draft were? I'll tell you this, the first round draft choice, who a lot thought he had a weaker arm, but yet thought he was more qualified mentally for the NFL, has won five MVPs in the NFL, and has turned out to be a great football player, and now he's retired. But the second guy, who had the stronger arm and was stronger athletically and stronger physically, didn't have the same mentality as the first guy. The number one draft choice that year was Peyton Manning. The number two draft choice that year was Ryan Leaf. Ryan Leaf is considered the biggest bust in NFL history. Throughout his career from 1992 to the year of 2002, and he won his very first two games when he came to the NFL. But for the next 10 years throughout his career, he only won two more games. He only won four games total. And he took a lot of ridicule and a lot of mess from everybody. And I mean, he hit rock bottom. He started doing drugs. He started messing with just going into people's homes, not to steal valuables, but just to steal drugs. He would even go to open houses and go into people's houses and try to get medication from the cabinets. And he was put in jail. But there was two people that never gave up on him. It was his mother and his father. Never gave up on him. And I'm going to tell you what. You want to hear one of the greatest testimonies ever given by a person? Ryan Leaf has one of the greatest testimonies you ever hear. Because he hit rock bottom. He hit rock bottom. And now, my MVP for the best quarterback after an NFL career and changing people's lives for the better is not Peyton Manning. It's not Dan Marino. It's not Troy Aikman. You know who it is? It's Ryan Leaf. Because he understands the Nineveh and everyone. Because he had it inside of him. He is making the biggest change on young quarterbacks today. And it's a shame he didn't have the same person come to him before that. Big difference, because he allowed who? He allowed God to come into his life. He allowed God to change him from the inside out. And he has a new beginning. I'm not saying Peyton Manning and the other quarterbacks aren't good and do a lot for their communities. I don't know. But I know this. Each and every draft, every time a quarterback comes out, they have the prospect of Ryan Leaf to mentor him. And it's a strong mentorship. And the very first thing he tells them, he says, no matter how good you are, doesn't mean you're a good person. And I took that to heart too. No matter how much you claim to be a Christian, doesn't mean you're a good Christian. Because we need to die daily in Jesus Christ. And each and every day, start a new beginning. Here's another fellow you might know. In 1978, he was going into the airport, Kalamazoo Airport in Michigan. and he was found with 1.5 pounds of cocaine. He was arrested, and he was going to have a life sentence. But he gave up some other people, and it only became a 2-year sentence. And the day he was released, Disney hired him, a cocaine guy. You know who this guy is? Tim Allen. Tim Allen, one of the greatest comedians you'll ever see. But he dealt with a lot of demons in his life. His dad was taken away from him by a drunk driver when he was, I think, 9, 10, 11 years old. And then he developed an addiction to drinking and also to drugs. And he got just as bad as Ryan. But he, too, was able to turn to the Lord. His life totally changed. And now he's out there dealing with the same abuse in other people as Ryan Leaf is. Totally changed because God changed him. I'm not saying you have to get to that point to have God come into your life, but what I am saying is we have to allow God to take control so that each and every day we can have a new beginning. So let's go straight to the scripture, and then I'll get into this. The scripture today is in Jeremiah chapter 18. And see, what you have to understand, Jeremiah is frustrated with his people because he don't know where they're going, basically. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And the Lord knows his frustration. He says, this 18 verse 1, starting with verse 1, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot that he was shaping from the clay, was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as he seemed best to him. I don't know if today you think God has brought you where you should be or where you want to be. I don't know if you think God has left you to the side, but I'm telling you right now, God is still working on you. You're still in his hands as long as you give it up to him. God is willing to work with each and every one of us as long as we allow him to work with us. So why did Paulo say sometimes it's easier to deal with non-Christians than it is with Christians? Why do you think that's so? Do a lot of Christians think they already know what they have to do and what they have to go, and they don't allow God to shape them each and every day? I think that might be true. And I learned a valuable lesson through that each and every day I got to just let my guard down, not be so defensive no matter what's happening. Listen to the other person first, and then react to what they're saying. We need to start hearing a little bit more and not just saying. We need to start listening to what people are telling us. And so, as I studied for this sermon, I realized one thing. I had I had a rough week this week, to be honest with you. I had a really rough week. But at the very end of the week, yesterday, it all turned full circle. I have a job project in Florida I did not think was going to make it, but everything in about 1:30 in the afternoon turned full circle. But you know what? I never doubted it would because I knew God was in control. But I tell you what, I was getting worried yesterday. It took me to my very limits. And then there was another issue between two very dear people in my life, and things were looking rough, but they all got worked out because God is in control. He is in control, but we still have to allow him. And let me tell you something. If you allow Jesus Christ to have control in your life, everything that happens in your life becomes more visible. And what I'm talking about this is, you see blessings that he gives you because you allow him to be in control. You see answered prayer because you allow him that same control. Just like a mother chasing her son around the church. You know that God sees us because he has control. But it just warms my heart to know that no matter what I do, no matter where I go, that Jesus Christ, as long as I every day give it up to him, is willing to take control of my life and make it different. I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But I'm just saying today we can turn it over in his hand. Because what does Jesus say? All things are possible through what? He who gives me strength. You know, when I see a homeless person, what's the very first thought that comes to mind when you see a homeless person? Especially when you see a young homeless person. I'm thinking, quit being lazy and go out and get a job. And then I read an article about homeless people. Most of it's not about laziness. Most of it's about physical and mental disabilities. I didn't realize that. This pastor out in California one time went for 2 weeks, went to a homeless shelter area, and just became totally homeless. And he said if he stayed any longer, he would have mentally had some problems because it's very, very draining. So when I saw that, I said, now I got to look at that differently. I'm just saying, as Christians, we got to open up our minds and our hearts to what God has for us, and we got to allow him to mold us into the Christians that he wants us to be. We got to allow him to mold us each and every day, because every day is going to be different. Every day is going to be different. No 2 days are going to be the same. I mean, this morning, when I had plenty of time to get here, I was super frustrated because the car's in the fast lane driving 50 miles an hour and the speed limit's 60 miles an hour. I was like, Lord, I know I prayed this morning for you to mold me and shape me, but I'm struggling right now because I really want to hit this car in front of me. But then you have to explain to the police officer, hey, they just wouldn't get out of my way. Well, it doesn't matter. You're still getting a ticket, you know. I mean, even after I just prayed, my mentality changed. I couldn't hold on to it more than 10 minutes. I was already frustrated and mad. But also, I turned on the radio and turned on some praise and worship music. And I think the very first song that came on was like, Slow Down. God is in control. I was like, he's got a sense of humor too. He's just like Tim Allen. He wants to make a lot of jokes. But you know what? That is the good thing about God too. God is personable with you. Each and every one of us are different. And he'll work with each and every one of us individually. As I was studying for this, I always try to get some inspiration from other sites. And I can't remember, I think it was 19, was it Olympics in 88? I think that was one of the years. And Derek Redmond was just hands down going to win the 1,500 meter gold medal. Nobody could come close to him. He was going to win. It had been a lifetime dream, and he was going to win. And the race started, and he's just blowing the field away. But about three quarters into the race, he tears his hamstring. Not only is he not going to win the race, a lot of people would have just quit. But he had been preparing for this race his whole life. But what I found really amazing, breaking through the crowd, coming through security, was who? His father. His father went under his arm, and the two of them limped for him to cross the finish line. And then I read this other story about a potter who was teaching his son his trade in pottery. And his son, at the age of 15, got in a severe accident and lost his eyesight. But he still knew how to work with his hands. And he still developed pottery. But what he didn't know is because he couldn't see, the pottery was not as good as it used to be. But people would come into the shop and just rave about his pottery. And his father said, yeah, my son made that. Yeah, that's my son's work. And his son, I guess, just assumed he was still doing a great job. But what he didn't know, that each and every night when he went to bed, his dad came down and repaired all his work. Jesus will do that for you too. Every mistake, every flaw you have, each and every night, he will repair it for you. Because that's what our God is all about. As long as we are willing to give it up to him. And all I ask in this new beginning is that not only you just give it up today, but tomorrow morning, the next morning, the next morning, the next morning, each and every day of your life, you give it up anew. Lord, be with me today. Bless me. May I see your blessings because you are with me. And I tell you what, you will see those blessings. You will see God work in your life and work miracles in your life. And then it makes you that much stronger to come to him again and again and again. The one thing I always mess up on is I forget to come back to him. And when I forget to come back to him, I fall flat on my face. And I don't want other Christians to say, in this church is the hardest group of Christians to work with. The only reason they're going to say that is because you're not in that walk with Jesus Christ. But if you are in that walk with Jesus Christ, they're going to say, man, the members from RGF, man, they are in tune with Christ. And they are so good and fun to work with and so fun to fellowship with because they go to him daily. Now, you might not say it just like that, but they see what you're doing. They watch what you're doing. And I pray that blessing for each and every one of us. And I ask the praise and worship team to come up and close us with our closing song.
Stand with us and sing together. We're going to hold on, not let go, so that we can have that start every single day. Thank you.
been looking for his violin because he had sold it years ago. And he only sold it for like $10 or $15. But he realized that it meant a lot more to him. It was his violin. So he was going around to all the different five and dime stores and all the antique stores around the area. And then finally one day he walked into this area and he found his violin, and it was sitting there all dusty. And it said $5. And he picked it up and says, "Yes, I'm going to pay this $5 for it because that violin means a lot more to me." But before he was going to pay for it, he blows off the dust, just like Christians should blow off the dust of this world. He blows off the dust and takes out the boat, and he starts playing that violin. And the storekeeper came up and he goes, "Sir, I just have to tell you that violin is not for sale for $5. And he goes, "Well, it said $5. He goes, "Yeah, but after hearing you play it, the value of that violin is worth way more. It's worth $1,000 to $2,000. See, that's the value of you with Jesus Christ. If you leave all that dust, you don't see the value you have. But with Jesus Christ, you're more than valuable. He sacrificed his life on the cross for each and every one of you so that you would hold on. So today, as you leave this place, make it a new beginning in your life that you're going to thank God each and every day for what he has in your life, what he can do in your life. Ask him to be with you. That's all he wants to do. And the verses in Jeremiah continues on and it says, "Look, I am like that potter. I can mold you and take you and do things with you, but you have to allow me to be the hands to mold you. Allow Jesus and he will take you to amazing places throughout your Christian walk." Let's pray. Lord, we pray today that we will hold on to you and that each and every day we will die anew because you are our Lord and our Savior and our very best friend. And I pray that each and every day will be a new beginning for us as we go out into this world. And may we be blessed through you to bless others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.